Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us this evening. We believe tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just great, Jim, and I thank you so much for that nice introduction. And, of course, we do welcome all of our listeners back to Ask the Pastor. This is a very exciting evening, as we are blessed by God to have a great guest with us who is very special and talented. Jim, I'm sorry, but there seems to be something wrong with the controls. It seems to be something with the lights, actually.
Oh. Can't identify just what the scope.
Pastor, based on those sounds, are we having extraterrestrials joining us tonight? Perhaps little green men?
Well, no, Jim, not unless you're referring to me. After all, I am half Irish. Actually, that is a reminder that our guest tonight is the man behind the movie Unidentified, a movie that has perhaps the most insightful and biblical view of the UFO phenomena.
Now you have my attention. I didn't realize that the Bible spoke of UFOs.
Well, you know, the Bible doesn't have to use the word unidentified or the phrase unidentified flying objects to tell us what is going on in the age and the time that we live. We do need to know God and His Word, however. So let us not lose another moment introducing our special guest.
Absolutely. Our guest tonight is a man of many interests and talents. He is very passionate and successful.
And that is so very true. We would also be doing him an injustice if we pigeonholed him into the role of a UFO expert. Why? Because Unidentified is just one of more than seven movies that he has actually directed.
In addition, he is the producer of 11 movies, including such titles as Amazing Love, The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, Time Changer, End of the Harvest, and so many more.
And he's also written at least 9 movies and impacted so many lives through his movies, his speaking, and best of all, his testimony. Of all that I can truly say of him, the best is this. He is a committed man who knows and serves Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So without further delay, let me introduce you to Rich Cristiano.
Hello, Charles. Hello, Jim. It's good to talk to you guys. Appreciate the kind words, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Rich, we begin each week by opening in prayer. Would you do us the privilege of beginning our program the right way by asking for God to bless and give us His wisdom and leadership at this time?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Lord, we just want to thank you for this time that we're going to have to talk about some important spiritual truths. And we just pray, Lord, you use this truth to speak to anybody that might hear this. Hopefully they'll be motivated to want to live for you, maybe challenged spiritually. But, Lord, we just want your presence here. We acknowledge you. We want to thank you for all you've done in our lives, and thank you for the opportunity we have right now just to serve you as we talk about you and your word and some of your principles that we think could impact our society in a positive and godly way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Rich. I'd like to start with the movie Unidentified that we've already briefly talked about, even though in a light way. I understand that the original idea for the movie came from your pastor, and your brother also gave some ideas to the story. Would you explain to our listeners the broad idea and the message of the film?
Right, okay. Back in 2005, we shot this movie. I had been living in Jonesboro, Arkansas for 21 years, and I moved back out to California in 2002. But while living in Jonesboro, Arkansas in the 90s, attending a Calvary Chapel Bible Church there, my pastor, John Lawrence, very godly man, good man in the Word, came up with an idea for a UFO movie. And John was not really a script writer, and he tried to write a script. Actually, he wrote a treatment. And so we made a little deal with him where we took his idea that we liked, and my brother and I wrote a script from it. As I did my research on the UFO phenomenon, it was very interesting because I found just a lot of wild stuff out there, just really wild stories. And, you know, we had to determine, you know, how to present this subject in a biblical manner and also make this movie so it would be acceptable to the churches. And, you know, obviously to me, I feel like that the whole UFO thing is a deception. But we decided to present different views in the movie. Like, for example, in this film, you have two guys that go down to investigate a UFO sighting that happens in a small town in Texas. And one of the guys just doesn't believe in UFOs at all. And he just believes that it's a money-making thing. Somebody keeps the UFO subject going because they're making money off it. And they work for this national magazine, so their editor decides to do a story about UFOs. Well, the girl writer gets involved, and she believes that UFOs are out there. There's been too many, you know, astronauts and politicians and lawyers and doctors that have seen UFO sightings all around the world. There's got to be something going on, so she kind of believed it. And the main character in this movie, he wasn't sure about UFOs, but he was convinced something was going on. And then the religion editor gets involved, and he says, look, it's a demonic distraction and influence. And the movie goes from there as they investigate this incident. And we want to try to show that, you know, the UFO thing is a real thing where it's a distraction of the devil to try to take people's minds off the Lord and stuff, and it possibly could play into the rapture and end times. And, you know, when they watch the movie, they get all this. And I think we hopefully rightly divided it. But the whole purpose was to point people to Christ. It's an evangelistic film, and I think it's a film really to give out to somebody who's not a believer, and hopefully it'll provoke them to want to think about things of the Lord. And that's what we did the movie for.
And that's certainly, I believe, what it's accomplishing. It's a very powerful tool. I've had a chance to share it with several people, and really it's incredible. It's a great witnessing tool in many different ways. And, you know, many people only view UFOs as a question of, is there an extraterrestrial life or not? But that's not the message of the movie. And, you know, you've done a wonderful job of introducing that and talking about what is going on from the Christian believer's perspective.
Yeah, because I personally do not believe, you know, I get asked this a lot. Like, we would go out to churches and show the film. And it played in theaters also when it originally came out, and now it's on DVD. But people have asked me, do I believe in UFOs or do I believe in aliens? And I don't believe in aliens for a second. I don't believe there's life on any other planet but Earth. Not even for a millisecond do I even consider it. The Bible certainly doesn't indicate it, doesn't talk about it. But keep in mind, you know, the enemy is out there. He's just trying to distract people. He's trying to put forth as many theories and things. It doesn't matter what they are, you know. And if UFOs don't get you, something else will, kind of like that's his approach. You know, anything that's not the truth, he's behind. And, you know, it's sad that what I found out is a lot of Christians, this is what kind of amazed me, or at least professing Christians, believe in aliens and all this stuff, and I would be befuddled. You got to be kidding me, you know. So, and the other thing that we talk about is the UFO subject never goes away. It seems to always pop its head up from time to time into the news. It just sits out there. You know, people don't take it too serious, but it never goes away. And I do believe, for those that believe in a pre-trib rapture, that the UFO phenomenon will be part of the explanation, because lots of times the message from the so-called aliens is there's a group of people on this earth. They're holding back the society from going to the next level. And we're going to get rid of these people. We're going to take them somewhere. We're going to train them up, and then we'll be able to move us all to the next level, you know, as a possible explanation of the rapture event. So that's what the UFO thing is. But we used it as a hook, just to kind of put it out there. The intent was to get people thinking about the Lord. And since you guys have seen the movie, you can see how we directed it that way. We started with the UFO thing, but we directed it into a spiritual matter, because it really is a spiritual issue. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did with it.
You know, there was an interview you did with Christian Cinema, and you made a very powerful statement. And again, you've already started to touch on it, where you said, we talk about whether or not UFOs exist and even talk about the possible connection to end times. Because of that, this is a dangerous film. And I think you already started to touch on it because it does get people to thinking with regards to the rapture and things of that nature, spiritual issues. Why do you see it as being a dangerous film in that respect?
In other words, read the last part of that statement again. I'm sorry, I missed it. Just read the last part of that again, the Christian cinema thing.
Certainly. They were quoting you as saying, we talk about whether or not UFOs exist and even talk about the possible connection to end times. Because of that, this is a dangerous film.
Right. I guess my thinking was when I was saying it's a dangerous film, the unidentified being a dangerous film, mm-hmm. is because the message that we were trying to put forth for Christ, in other words, that a person watching, I feel like this. Of all the movies we've made, I think this movie presents the gospel in the clearest way and from two or three different angles. I always say it's the most evangelistic film my brother and I have been involved with. So it's like if a person watches this movie, I really think they're without excuse before the Lord. And so in that sense, it becomes dangerous. In other words, because after you watch this movie and then reject Christ, reject the love of Christ, reject the sacrifice of Christ, you know, it becomes dangerous in a way. It puts you in a bad state. So that's what we were trying to get across, I guess, with that.
And, Jim, I noticed that you had talked to me a little bit earlier about the you had a question regarding where he had, or Rich had talked about the two or three angles. You wanted to ask him that question?
Absolutely. We read that you had approached the movie Unidentified from two or three angles to make the gospel message very clear. Could you explain that in a little more detail?
Well, one of the angles we took was we had a scene, without giving away too much of the movie, where we had the non-believer going around a table asking people if Jesus was their Lord. In other words, because according to, see, the main character, the religion editor in this, his name is Darren, and the atheistic guy in this movie's name is Brad, and Brad was saying, according to Darren, if we don't receive Jesus, we're going to go to hell when we die. So I'm going to go around the room, and he went, Keith, have you ever received Jesus? To the first guy, and he says, well, I go to Sunday school. He goes, what's that got to do with it? Have you received Jesus? No. Well, you're going to hell. So then he went to the next person. Have you received Jesus? No. Well, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Keith, who was supposed to be the Christian, and he's challenging him. And Keith says he doesn't know. And here he was supposed to be a Christian and walked out of the room, you know. So what was interesting about that scene is you really had the non-believer sharing the truth, you know. And then we had a thing where we talked about, we tried to talk about righteousness. We had another scene where we talked about, when you think about it, and I like to say this all the time, I always try to tell people, you know, you really don't need Jesus to get into heaven. And they'll look at me, what? What? You know, really, if you think about it, what you need is righteousness. You
right.
need to be perfect to get in the kingdom. And I think the gospel kind of starts there. In other words, think about when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus in Matthew, 16 or 19, and he says, good master, what good thing must I do to enter eternal life?
Right.
And first of all, Jesus says, why call me good? There's none good but God alone. First he's saying, are you calling me God? But then he says, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. Well, that's one way to get in the kingdom. If you can keep the commandments, obviously none of us can keep the commandments. Nobody can. That is one way. And obviously the other way is to receive Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. But we tried to point out in the movie that what we need to get in the kingdom is righteousness. That's really what you need. And either you're righteous on your own or you're not. So that was another one of the angles. And then we actually had a scene where the gospel got presented to Randy, who was the first guy that saw the UFO, mm-hmm. to really want to pray to receive the Lord. And we show the guy start praying, and then it went to the next part, you know. So when I met two or three different angles, is I try to take different approaches. Like, for example, we're getting ready to shoot a movie here in two or three months, and my brother and I have come up with a new angle to kind of present the truth in a film we're getting ready to shoot. And something that we both have observed is, look, there's 100 million people that go to church each week. You know, Gallup, Barner took a poll that said 78% of the people living in the U.S. claim an affiliation with a Christian denomination. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of people that think they're Christians. But the Bible says there's few that be that find it in Matthew 7:14. In fact, in Luke 13, in Jesus' day, a guy walked up to Jesus and said, he observed it. Are there just a few that are being saved? And Jesus looked at the guy and says, many will strive to enter but be unable. And see, the reason why I think we have a powerless church is because for the most part, people have added Jesus to their life instead of submitting to him. And that's a heaven and hell difference. You know, we've got intellectual believers, we've got religious people, we've got professing believers. We don't have spirit-filled believers. We don't have people that receive Christ. Barner took another poll that I always thought interesting. He took a poll of Christians. Now, these are Christians. These are not atheists. These are not non-believers. These are people that claim to be Christians. And in this group, 41% of those people in that group of Christians said that Jesus Christ had sinned. Well, I got news for you. If Jesus Christ had sinned, we're in trouble. There's no forgiveness for our sins, you know. And then they asked the question, 20% of the people said the most important decision they ever made in their life was to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And what amazed me is that only 20% of these, 100% of these Christians said that the most important decision was to receive Christ. Well, I don't know about you guys, but the most important decision I've ever made in my life was to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you guys can say the same thing.
Absolutely.
That's done. Yeah. So to me, what the problem in the church today, if someone were to ask me for my little two cents, I'd simply say this. You've got so many people, they've made Jesus a part of their life, but he's not their life. You know, and obviously nobody's going to walk perfectly with the Lord, but there's a big difference with Jesus by addition and Jesus by submission, because I got news for you. Jesus is not going to save any man he can't command. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you receive him, you're his servant. He's your Lord.
Right.
That's the relationship. And a lot of people don't like those terms. So they attach themselves to churches and to teachers that are meet their terms, you know. And that's a bad state to be in. So our part of our gospel presentation in this next movie we're getting ready to do addresses that issue. Because this girl that goes to this college that drifts away from the Lord, the Christian character in there challenges her with this. The reason why you're drifting is maybe you never had it, kind of, you know.
Right.
So I'm off on a tangent, sorry.
No, that's a wonderful tangent, too, because, you know, I see Brad doing that in the movie. You're anticipating another character will do a similar thing. It's amazing to me, beyond movies, in real life, that people who do not accept Christ, that are claiming to be an atheist, which is very difficult to believe to begin with, they hold a very high standard of what Christians ought to be. They demand of us more. They expect us, if you really say you believe what you believe, they're expecting us to be different.
Right.
And that's part of our witness. That's part of our power. If we don't have it, then we're open prey to the person who's going to challenge us and say, well, then, why don't I see it in you? You know, and that, just as you say, is a big difference between having that head understanding and really letting him take control of your heart. Because you have to be different if you've really had something very different happen to you, which is letting Christ become Lord and Savior. It's just an incredible moment.
Right, an encounter with the Lord. It's going to be a changed life. And you know, the other thing, like we, once a week, we meet with a men's group at our local church that I attend. And, you know, I've recognized this. I think that if we as Christians, if the only thing we do is go to church on Sunday morning, if that's our spiritual encounter, you have virtually no chance to live for the Lord. I mean, to me, you're going to be going backwards. We need to discipline ourselves to do a couple things. One is what I try to encourage people, read the Bible. And I made a commitment, and I've always read the Bible as a Christian, been a Christian since 1980, but a couple and a half years ago, I really made a firm commitment to the Lord that when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to read the Word. And basically, I've been able to maintain that for about 2.5 years now. I'm not trying to do it to sound religious, but it's made a difference. Just to start my day off with the Lord, I feel like I'm in the game. The other thing is I encourage people, get involved in a midweek study group, a small group, whatever you want to call it, an accountability group, get involved. Because now if you're going to church on Sunday, reading the Word every day, and you got that little midweek group, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever it is, you've got a chance. Now you're surrounding yourself with some spiritual things. You know, think about it. I talk to pastors a lot because we rent our movies to churches all the time. And I say, you know, pastors, people come to your church on Sunday morning. That's good. But to me, the issue is, what do they do in the other 6.5 days? Who are they fellowship with? How many hours of television? How many movies are they watching that just totally steals the heart and just takes their mind off the things of the Lord and stuff? This is where the battle lies in the media. This is why we're making Christian films, you know, to try to counter and provide an alternative. Because I think all of us realize how powerful the media really is.
Right, right. By the way, Rich, when I watched the movie, I confess I spotted an unidentified in the film during the scene where there is conversation taking place in the sandwich shop. Wasn't there an unidentified acting talent that did a walk-on part?
There was that guy in that red shirt. Wasn't he fantastic, too?
Fantastic.
I made my one and only cameo where I actually gave myself a line in the movie. It was weird because, you know, as the director, you get to say the word action, you know. So here I'm standing in the scene, and we roll the thing. I go, action. Then I wait a second, and my line was, thanks, Manny. And I took my little sandwich and walked away, and there were the two guys talking.
That's great.
That was my
little cameo.
Yep.
Well, and you'd be pleased that, you know, we didn't really skimp on you tonight, but we didn't take the time to send you the apple juice or, you know, the grape juice or the we couldn't even get the fruit punch out to you in time. I do apologize.
Yeah.
By the way,
if somebody wanted to get the unidentified movie, I don't know if it's available on your website, but it's available on ours, which is christianmovies.com. They can go get unidentified. It's at a super low price, too, so consider it.
Excellent. And we do actually have it up on the front page right now at our site as well. So we wanted to make it available. We think it's a powerful tool, not only a real blessing for the family, but by all means, it's a great way to introduce the gospel to somebody and certainly challenge them to know where they stand with Christ. Let's take a little slightly different look for a moment, if you would, Rich. Let's talk about Christian filmmaking as it is today. What do you see happening in the industry?
Well, I think there's some good things and there's some not so good things. I mean, the one thing that concerns me is there are a lot of movies being made and there's a lot more movies coming into the Christian marketplace. But the problem is most of them do not really have a solid message for the Lord, which is sad because that's what makes it Christian. Guys are making family films. Guys are making what they call their Christian worldview films. They might be making some wholesome films. But I think the need of the moment is Christian films. And I feel sorry for the customer because when they walk into a Christian bookstore, all the covers look pretty good. And they'll buy a movie, and they'll take it home and watch it, and it's not any good. And they say, these Christian films are no good. And it gives a bad name to all Christian films. We've been pretty careful on our website for what we offer. There are tons of movies that we just turn down and don't carry. And it's not that they're all not very well done. It's just they don't have a message for the Lord. And, you know, if you're doing a Christian film, it should point to Christ. That's what makes it Christian. And I know that guys disagree with this. They don't have a problem with the Christian worldview and stuff. Well, I think what they're doing is they're just trying to appeal to a wider audience so they think they can sell more DVDs or whatever. You know, we've done this study, too. The guys, and there's not very many of them, but the guys that have really stuck to make the Christ-honoring films are doing the best financially, let alone spiritually, because they're making a spiritual impact. It just comes down to your philosophy and strategy in doing these movies. And ours, my brother and myself, I can speak for us, has been very simple. First and foremost, we want to please the Lord. John 15:5 says, Jesus said, abide in me, you'll bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, I believe that verse. And I remember the first feature film I ever made was called Time Changer, and I felt like the Lord was saying, Rich, I don't care if 10 people see it, you make it for me. So we determined first we want to please the Lord, because I think we all know this. We all want to try to reach people for Christ. But I got news for you. I've never led one person to the Lord, never one. Neither is Billy Graham. We can only water and plant. It's God's Spirit that causes the growth, and He gives the increase. So our job is to abide in the vine. And Jesus says, you will bear fruit. So with all of our films, we want to please the Lord. Second, I want to motivate, challenge, and edify the Christian. I want the Christian to be able to watch the movie and get a message for him to motivate him. There's two ways to evangelize people. You can motivate the Christian to go do it, or you can put the gospel in there so a non-believer will consider Christ. So we try to do both. We want to try to please the Lord. Second, we want to motivate the Christian. Third, put the gospel in there so a non-believer will consider the Lord. And I think this is a good approach. And I'll illustrate it in my own life. I was raised Roman Catholic in upstate New York, very good family. I was not a born-again Christian. For those that don't know, the Catholic faith has some of the right liturgy, but it's a very liberal denomination of the Christian faith, very liberal. Well, the first non-Catholic church I ever went into was a church out in Southern California back in 1980 called Grace Community Church, where John MacArthur is the pastor teacher. Now, some of them sure have heard of John MacArthur. This is the first church I've ever walked into. And it totally caught my attention because MacArthur, teaching from the scripture, was 180 degrees different than what I had seen and heard in the Catholic Church. Where if I had walked into a Lutheran church, which is kind of like a spinoff of the Catholic Church, I thought, this is no big deal. Mm-hmm. But because it was totally different, the Lord used it and got my attention. And I say the same with the Christian movies. You know, we always want to buddy up to the world. You know, Adrian Rogers, call it cocktail evangelism, he'd call it. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to go the way of the Lord, and let's trust the Lord. It's not about numbers with Christ. It's about faithfulness. It's about motives. And, you know, it's certainly not about numbers. Scripture says, few there be that find it.
That's true. Rich, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're going on. You had mentioned earlier a reference back to that report that came out about the strength of Christian films. And what I do see is a lot of secular organizations coming out with books that are, in other words, secular publishers are actually coming up with arms that are turning out Christian books because they realize that it sells. And so it makes you wonder about if the secular publisher is just trying to monetize, you know, faith. That's a little dangerous. But the thing I wonder about, what happens to the secular company that says, well, we can make money, the Christians are getting these kind of films. Can a non-Christian who traditionally even cranked out anti-Christian products actually make a Christian film or so-called, you know, family-friendly film?
Okay, I'm not sure what you're asking me. Can a say that again? I'm not sure what you're asking.
All right. In other words, if the secular movie companies in Hollywood recognize that there's a lot of money in making a Christian film, you know, they may make something that's like a Hallmark moment, but can they really crank out, or would they even try to crank out something that would try to be a Christian film when they really don't have an understanding of our faith?
Right. I think it'd be very difficult. The only way they're going to do that is they're going to hire some directors and some people that are really involved. I mean, you know, the Sherwood Pictures guys, Sony has been involved with them, the guys that did Courageous and Fireproof, and they've been able to hold the line to be able to keep the message in the movies. But lots of times, Sony and these companies, they want to take the message out. And, you know, their purpose is not to advance the kingdom of God. Their purpose is to advance their kingdom, you know. And
exactly.
Try to make money. And it bothers me, you know, that it seems like Christians lots of times are just easily exploited. And it's just a testimony to the church. In other words, kind of like this. Let's say, you know, we have people listening, and let's just talk to the Christians for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. And if just the Christians would make one stand, if they would stop going to any Hollywood movie that blasphemes the name of the Lord, you would change Hollywood.
Wow.
If just the Christians would, you would change it, because it would really put a dent in the pocketbook. Because unfortunately, almost all the films do it. And, you know, people just sit in there and they pretend they didn't hear it. You know, Psalm, I think it's 138, says, "Thy enemies take thy name in vain." That's how God looks at it. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's take there's a popular movie, Back to the Future. Everybody's seen that movie. I remember in 1985, I went to the theater. I saw that movie. I walked out of the theater. I turned around. I looked at the marquee and said, that's the best movie I've ever seen. Has action, adventure, great script, visual effects, funny, fantastic. But five or six times in that fantastic movie, Michael J. Fox, you know, Marty McFly, says Jesus Christ. Just totally blasphemes the Lord. And, you know, my brother and I started talking about that, and we kind of convicted ourselves, saying, what happens if he had said, Rich Cristiano, mother, is a jerk five or six times? Would I have all sat in there and laughed all in the name of entertainment? No, I would have got a hold of Spielberg's company there, Amblin Entertainment, and Universal Studios, and would have tried to sue him for every penny I could get for slander. Mm-hmm. You see, we're real offended when our name's slandered, but when people slander the name that the Bible says is above every name, the name of the Lord that supposedly saved us from our sins and cleansed us, we sit in there all the name of entertainment.
Wow.
This shows you how powerful the media is and how wimpy we are as Christians. Because the God of this country is entertainment. I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why churches need to get involved in some way. We have a unique marketing plan for our movies where we get churches and local individuals to sponsor our films in local movie theaters to try to confront the culture, and we share the revenue with them. Because, we don't have big promotional dollars, so we've got to build like a Gideon's army that wants to get out there and try to make a difference. But,
mm-hmm.
The sad thing is that you got churches showing secular movies in churches for entertainment. The liberal churches will show some of these Hollywood movies, that they think mm-hmm. aren't that bad. I'll kind of give you this perspective, My brother and I used to go around the churches and share about the media to show how powerful the media is. And there's a verse in 1 John 4 that talks about test the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Right.
And it says, this is the spirit of Christ. He that says that Jesus come in the flesh is of the Lord. He that doesn't proclaim Jesus is the Antichrist. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So lots of times we think many false prophets, we just think a guy in a pulpit. But I think a prophet is anybody putting forth a philosophy. Could be a singer, could be a filmmaker, could be an actor, and we put forth philosophy. So what I used to do is kind of pick on the music groups, and I'd say, let me ask you a question. Is Led Zeppelin a true or false prophet? Every spirit that does not profess Jesus is not of the Lord. So I would say yes or no. They go, no. Okay. How about the Rolling Stones? They have the Lord? No. Okay, how about this one? How about Bing Crosby? You kind of get a little hesitation, Every spirit that does not profess Christ is not of the Lord. And then I'd say, how about this one? Walt Disney. Every spirit that does not, in other words, now I'm not trying to tell people don't watch the Disney films. You got to decide what you're going to watch. You got to recognize this, though. Walt Disney's movies are all atheistic. None of them are for the Lord. Now, God the Father, if he had his way, they would all be for the Lord. He wants mm-hmm. to elevate Christ. And so we have let entertainment steal things from us. I'm convinced of this. Nothing causes divorce more than TV set. So the TV set, the dissatisfaction. You got a husband watching TV with seeing all the cheerleaders and all the pretty girls. He looks over his wife that's worked all day, and she hasn't done her face, and she doesn't look that good, and it causes a dissatisfaction, and vice versa, with the women watching the men. I mean, advertising works, and if you don't think the commercials affect you, they do. But certainly the programming does, too. It's the programming that affects people.
Absolutely.
And so much has happened in our society that the morals are just gone. The biblical principles and teachings are gone, And if the church has let it slip away. And if the church would take a stand, if we discipline ourselves a little bit, things would be different.
And I am so glad you said that. I think we make a horrible mistake sometimes. We get down on the world for what they are doing. And we forget the fact that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. It's our responsibility, not the world's, to hold the standard. And so we're the ones who have compromised, and that's where the responsibility comes. God will hold his people accountable.
Yes.
And that's why he tells us to repent, to, seek his face, and to turn from our evil ways. Isn't it amazing, Rich, that, in that scripture, the Word of God does not tell the lost people to turn and repent. He tells us to turn. He tells the church. If we will turn from our wicked way, that says we're letting the wrong kind of entertainment into our homes, into our living rooms. We're the ones who are not monitoring what cables are being brought in. Frankly, I took the cable out a long time ago because of the fact that I simply do not want to invest in a theology that I don't agree with, in the theology of entertainment that mocks God, mocks Christians. I just can't see that that's right or justifiable in any way. We're going to take just a short break, and when we come back, I would like to ask you to spend some time talking about the projects you've got coming up, But, you know, really, if you just want to emphasize anything that's on your heart that you, you know, don't worry about taking the platform. We're giving it to you because we think you've got something to say that people need to hear.
Right.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I want to tell you about a program that has been a real surprise for me. Now, I don't normally listen to or even care for religious programs, but these two guys are different. The program's called Ask the Pastor, and it has a team of co-hosts, Pastor Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. Pastor Charles is a writer and helps people who are troubled when they call in and they need someone to talk to. Jim works a regular job and also volunteers listening to and helping others. It's not what you expect from a religious program. They're Christian, they teach the Bible, and they talk about things that are going on in the real world. And more than that, they listen to people and they talk with them, not at them. As I said, the program is called Ask the Pastor, and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights. I think you'll be really surprised and pleased. I know I was.
Rich, before we go on and take some questions for you, I want to draw some attention to our listeners, and I hope people have gotten a copy of Unidentified or you know, really spend some time going through your website, seeing the selection of movies that have been put out there. Again, not only a great witnessing tool, but a real blessing. You know, if you're going to feed your mind, why not feed your heart while you're at it? And these are some great movies. There's an opening scene in Unidentified, a rural family, and they're during the broadcast of War of the Worlds. And what drew my attention and got a hold of me as I saw that, you know, just to paint the picture for folks, you've got adults who are very upset, even young people in the scene that are troubled because they've heard the broadcast, War of the Worlds, and they believe and they have heard that there are aliens coming, there's dark gas being released, flying saucers, people are dying. And what happens that really drew my attention is, you know, there's a young child that's calling in the back bedroom about all the disturbance. And the father tells the mom, go back there, tell him nothing's going on. Mom goes back, calm down, it's nothing, it's just a storm coming, that's all. I know that War of the Worlds was fiction. I know that it was just a story put out there, but it had a dramatic impact and people listened to it. Once again, the power of media. But here's the thing that drew my attention as you show that in your film. It struck me that here is a mom and a dad who know in their mind that something horrible is about to happen. And they're telling their children, don't worry about it, it's just a storm coming. And it strikes me the parallel of the number of people who come to church every Sunday. Parents that don't want to tell their children about their faith, they'll explore it for themselves. Or pastors who get up and they just want to tell them, oh, I know it's stormy, but, you know, we can have a good program here and we can feed the hungry and we can do social programs. But the spreading of the gospel goes quiet. And the reality of a judgment and a rapture and a tribulation period gets untouched. You know, and just in the same way that those mom and dads went to a child and said, don't worry, it's not real. You know, we've got pastors in pulpits that are doing the same thing. Maybe not using those words, but it's a dangerous thing. So, you know, do you see any parallel between that message and, as I said, pastors that get up there and don't share the gospel?
Well, I mean, I think the churches are full today of pastors that acquiesce to the people, kind of like Pilate did, that are not preaching the word of God. They're going for crowds. You know, people are looking for it. They have itching ears, you know. And whenever I see a megachurch, I mean, I'll kind of give you this example. In Luke chapter 14, people are walking along, and Jesus turns around, and he says to the people, unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your own life, you can't be my disciple. Then he goes on to say, unless you're willing to give up all your possessions, you can't be my disciple. You got to count the cost. That's a pretty hard line. It's from Luke chapter 14, 26, 33. You can look it up. It's a very hard line. But the interesting thing to me about that passage is verse 25, which most people don't ever read. It says, and a great multitude was following him. And we want to come along and say, wait a minute, Jesus. The stadium's full. This is when you got the crowd. You're supposed to say, look, all you got to do is raise your hand, sign the dotted line, walk the aisle, you're saved. Ooh, you're evangelizing wrong. You can't tell these people you got to hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your own life to be mother. Stop. You're not getting any converts that way. You're not going to build the crowd that way. You're going to thin the crowd. And that's exactly what he was doing. He recognized, look, these people are following me for the wrong reason. I'm not sure how some of the pastors can deal with it across the land when they've got 20,000-25,000 people coming every week, and it's like, you know, they can sit up there and smile and say everything's okay. When they're after numbers, you know, it'd be hard for me. I mean, from time to time, do they ever preach Matthew 14:26-33? And, you know, we're definitely living in the age of easy believism, where as a pastor, you have to ask yourself, am I more interested in numbers or am I more interested in souls? And certainly you're going to have the wheat and tare, and you can't sit and judge. But if a pastor, you know, lots of times when we rent our films to pastors, we rent according to how many people are going to be there. And lots of times they say, how many people normally go to your church? And they'll say, well, we got a pretty small church, 50, 60, 70 people. And lots of times they'll say to the pastor, well, you could have the best church in town, though. He goes, what do you mean? Well, are you faithfully teaching the Word of God? Are you holding your people accountable? That's what God's after, faithfulness and motives, not a numbers game. I mean, when he chose Israel, were they the biggest nation or the smallest? It's not a numbers game. So I see a parallel. You know, I actually knew a man, during the War of the Worlds thing, that he had his gun. This is in Arkansas. And he's out in front pacing, and he had his gun, and he's looking. And, you know, there were many reports of people seeing these objects and stuff. As we brought on the movie, we got that from a true account, that there were people so deceived that it was over a radio broadcast. It's amazing. And yet, when you give them the truth of Christ, they reject. I remember my mother was living, my parents live in Bradenton, Florida, which is a retirement community. An interesting thing happened. There was a newspaper article on Sunday that came out in the Sunday paper about lecithin, which is a real health thing, and they said, if you take lecithin, you'll live longer. So my mother read that, so she went out the next day to try to get it, and she went around to all these stores, and by noon it was all sold out because of that newspaper article. You couldn't get it. So I thought, you know, the next Sunday, let's run an article in the paper that says, receive Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. There'll be a few takers. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Chase the lecithin so they can live an extra 2 years where they can come to the Lord to receive eternal life. And we know, you know, God's got to open up everybody's eyes to do that. See, one other thing I'd like to say, I feel like that what's missing in our Christian lives is discipline. We are not disciplined. We're not really committed. I can kind of illustrate it this way. I think as we come to Christians, everybody's looking for the abundant life. They want the wealth, the health, and all that stuff. And, you know, Scripture says, you know, you might suffer. Those who live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And, but I can illustrate with this little story. This true story where my brother's, this happened like 5-6 years ago, but my brother's daughter was in the sixth grade. And at the school she went, going to like a little elementary school, there were three different sixth grades. There were 100 sixth graders. So the teachers said, look, tomorrow we're showing a movie, and you have to get your parents to sign for you to come to the movie. But I got to tell you, there's some cuss words in the movie, so you need to know that. So my brother's daughter walked up to her teacher after and says, what do you mean cuss words? Well, they say some bad words, and they blaspheme the name of the Lord in there also, the instructor said. So my brother's daughter came home and talked to my brother about it and said, Dad, you know, this movie, you know, but what do you think I should do? And so my brother said, well, what do you think you should do? He put it on her, and she goes, I don't think I should go because of the words and the language and stuff. He goes, I support that decision. I'm not going to sign it. So the next day they came back to watch the movie. And all the sixth graders, of the 100 sixth graders, the true story now, all the sixth graders that were not going to watch the movie were going to sit out in the hall. You want to know how many sixth graders sat out in that hall? One. That's my brother's daughter. Cool. For 2 hours, while all the other kids were in there watching the movie, having a good time.
Right.
And to me, that's kind of a picture of the Christian life. If you're going to follow Christ, sometimes you got to sit out in the hall. Nope, I can't go to that movie. I'm not going to do it. It blasphemes the name of my Lord. Nope, I can't listen to that joke. I can't watch that TV show. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not being a prude. I'm not being religious. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not going to do it because it's against my Lord. And you know what?
Wow.
You may be sitting there alone by yourself. But that, to me, is true Christianity. And that's not coming from these pulpits today like it should. Because guys, they're after numbers. They're not after true converts. They're not after disciples. Jesus was after followers. That's what he was looking for. Followers.
Rich, would you finish that story? Would you tell us what was the fallout and how did she feel? I would imagine there was some ribbing going on, and I wonder how she felt after it was over and she got home to talk to your brother.
Well, it's, you know, I'm sure she took some, but, you know, she felt like she did something for the Lord. And what happened was at this time, I shot out an email newsletter. We have 30-some thousand on our email list for thechristianmovies.com. Telling that story about that. I didn't name the name. I just said, "There's this. Let's learn something from a sixth grader in North Carolina."
Wow.
And I got such response. And my brother was able to go to his daughter and say, "I want to show you something, what God did for you." Do you realize? And showed some of the email responses that we got. In fact,
wow.
I did a radio program. I had done a radio program like a week later and told the story in the radio program, and the host said, "God bless it." And I didn't use my brother's daughter's name like I did with you. I just said the sixth grader in North Carolina, because that's not important that it's his daughter. But he said, "God bless this little girl." And, you know, people on the radio and said, "Look, so my brother, his daughter's name is Lily Grace. And he says, "Lily Grace, that little thing you did, look what God did. He took it and he multiplied it just because you made a little stand for him." And certainly my brother knew it would be difficult for her. But he was pleased that his daughter did that. And think about this. When we serve God and we obey God, even when it's hard, is not our Heavenly Father pleased? Think about that. And in John, I think it's 8:39, Jesus said this, "I always do the things that please the Father." I think it's John 8:29. Great statement that Christ made. Great statement he made. Can we make that statement? We can't. But you know what? That should be our goal. Let's please the Father.
This is just like your movies. You make a big, tall Texan like me cry. That is such a sweet, sweet story. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's kind of like this. This is why I like the little men's group that we meet, because we motivate each other. In other words, it's a little easier to live the Christian life if you know there's other people living it with you.
That's
and you can
true.
Kind of keep everybody going, you know. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:24, you know, go with them that call upon the Lord from a pure heart. And it's hard to live the Christian life by yourself. But from time to time, you might have to make that stand just to please the Lord. And this, to me, is more true Christianity.
Right.
And I personally believe, go ahead, Charles.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's one of the strengths when we go out and witness. I mean, certainly we should take every opportunity to get a track out, to share the gospel, explain the hope that's in our hearts. But I think when we go out two by two and we knock a door or we visit with people, you know, we're able to support each other that time. You know, if you and I were going and we knock a door, I'm able to pray for you if I'm speaking, you can pray for me. It gives that reinforcement. So, you know, it's true in a prayer group. It's true in a small men's group. It's true when we go to witness. If we go out in pairs, there's a strength in that reinforces, because it's a spiritual battle taking place, and we need to be able to support each other in prayer and in testimony.
Absolutely. And I think a missing element in our lives lots of time is a sense of personal ministry. I always thought it was interesting. I did a little study once. You know, think about this, that last words sometimes are very important. For example, let's say, you know, you're at a little league game and your son's going to go up and the bases are loaded and he's going to go up to hit and it's in the bottom of the sixth inning or whatever, and you give him those last words. You might say, "Hey, keep your eye on the ball." Or let's say a father and his daughter is going out for her first date, and he might give her those last words. "Hey, you know, if he touches you, that switchblade I gave you," you know, things like that. Well, I was wondering this. What were Jesus' last words? I bet they'd be pretty important, you know. And basically, in Acts chapter 1, they're recorded. And basically what Jesus says in essence is, be a witness. Now, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say Bible, which is very important. Doesn't say to pray, which is very important. Doesn't say to go to church. All three of those are very important. He says, be a witness. But embodied in be a witness are those other things. If you're out sharing your faith with people, you're going to realize you don't know much, and you're going to read the Bible and study the Bible because you need to know the scriptures so you can share the word. you got to realize this, too. You can talk to somebody until you're blue in the face, but God's Spirit doesn't move on their heart. And you're going to pray, just like you said. You're going to pray for that person, and for somebody, you're going to pray. The other thing is you're going to appreciate church, because you're going to walk in the church on Sunday and say, Pastor, feed me. I need some ammunition here. Just by being a witness will drive you to do those other important areas of the Christian life. And I think what's lacking in our lives is a sense of personal ministry. People are going to church, and that's about it. But where's our ministry? In other words, God's called you. You guys have this little radio ministry, among other things you're doing, but this little radio ministry, it's an outreach ministry. I mean, we're making films, an outreach ministry, and it's not about numbers. Your ministry could just be on your street, but just think if all Christians were doing their ministries, how different things might be. But here, it's like the game's going on, and we're sitting on the sideline.
Right.
We're not in the game. We're not in the game. And, you know, it's the lack of personal ministry. I kind of give you a simple thing. There's a friend of mine, his name is Eric Brown, lives in Jonesboro, Arkansas. He looks like Ben Vereen. If you remember Ben Vereen, he looks just like
that.
Eric Brown worked at a printing shop. Not like a big printing thing where they did big magazines and stuff like that. And he was like a customer service rep.
Mm-hmm.
And I always admire Eric Brown because he was always thinking to witness. And he would try to encourage some of the people in his office and share things with him. He was always kind of talking Jesus. Well, one night in Jonesboro, Arkansas, we went to a basketball game, to the Arkansas State basketball game, the college, about 8,000 people there. And that night they were playing a team, New Orleans. And New Orleans had the star player, Tony Harris, I remember was his name. He was the star player in the Sun Belt Conference. And we noticed in the first half when somebody would go down, a player would fall down, even an Arkansas State guy, Tony Harris would stick his hand out and help him up. We noticed that like two or three times. And Eric Brown says, you know what, I bet he's a Christian. I said, Eric, helping a guy up from the floor doesn't get you in the kingdom. You remember what gets you in the kingdom, right? And then we laughed about it. He goes, you know what, I'm going to tell him about Jesus. Okay, Eric, you're going to tell him about Jesus. I'm going to do it. So, you know, we watched the game, another hour and a half goes on. So when the game ended, I totally forgot about it. I start getting out of my seat. Eric says, wait, where are you going? I said, what? He goes, no, we can't go. I'm going to tell Tony Harris about Jesus. I said, come on, Eric, you ain't got to tell Tony. I'm going to tell him. So what it was is Tony Harris stayed out there in the middle of the court, did some interviews after the game, and a lot of people were leaving. So we sat there. We're like in the 20th row. And as Tony Harris finished his last interview, he started walking across the court by himself, and he was going to come near where we were. So Eric says, I'm going to go talk to him. So Eric got out of the seat and ran down about 20 flights and got as close as he could to him, and he called him over. And he said, and I saw he called him over. Tony walked over there just for a second. Eric said something. He turned around and came up. And he came up to me and says, come on, let's go. I blew it. Let's go. So we walked out. I said, well, what happened? He goes, I went down there, and I said, hey, Tony. He came over there, and I looked at him. I said, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. I said, cool, man. And I left. And I blew it, Rich. I blew it. So I start thinking about that for a second. I said, no, wait a minute, Eric. Maybe you didn't blow it. Let's think about this for a second. Tony Harris is going to go in, maybe do another interview. He's going to take his shower, and then they're going to get on the bus for an six-hour ride back down to New Orleans. He's
right.
going to have his little Walkman, and he's going to lean his head against that window, and he's going to say, you know what? There's a guy tonight that came up and asked me if I was a Christian. And I told him, yeah. I ain't no Christian. I ain't no Christian at all. I said, Eric, you might have asked him the most profound question you could ask anybody in your life. Let's trust God that he's going to use that question that you used. Let's not underestimate God. You might have did exactly what God wanted you to do. You know what, Eric? You were the only guy that took the time to go down and ask him that question. Now, to me, that's a witness. That's it's simple, but that's being a simple witness. Follow God's leading, and let's share in your circle of influence. You haven't got to preach to thousands. It can just be a Tony Harris at a basketball game. But that's what my friend Eric Brown is, see. Now, you know what? There's a good chance the Spirit of God's in him. There's a good chance he's a true believer. He's one of the few because he gives evidence in the fruit of his life. He's a godly man trying to follow the Lord, and he's a witness. And to me, that's a missing element in our lives, Charles and Jim. It's a missing element. Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, I think, you will be a witness. The true believer, you will be a witness. And too many of us are sitting on the sideline. because we're serving the god of entertainment, watching movies we shouldn't watch, watching TV we shouldn't watch, listening to music we shouldn't watch, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff, all this distraction, all this media that Christians spend hours messing with, where if they could get rid of that and, you know, maybe work on their marriage, spend time in the Word of God, fellowship with one another, try to share your faith, it'd be different. That's for sure.
Very true. Rich, you always are kind enough to give us a lot of great material on the DVDs of the films. More than people realize, it's not just how the movie's made, but a lot of times just some background of the heart. And what I liked in one of the movies, you made a statement, if you want to walk in truth, what reason will you give to God about what you want to do rather than read his word? And I think that's such a powerful statement. How do we give an excuse to God when we don't witness, when we don't read his word? That's something that we just really can't do.
Right, and I still say that all the time, you know, like just talk to people and say, you know, reading the word, no, and say, well, what's the excuse? You know, and I say that lovingly. I can, well, you know, and what's a good enough excuse? If Jesus is standing right here, what's your excuse for not reading the word? And what it is, we just don't see the value of it. We're just not seeing the value to doing these things. And these prayer and fellowship and reading the word and witnessing, you know, the kind of basics of the Christian faith are the most important things. I remember the first thing I was ever taught as a Christian in Sunday school at Grace Community Church, the guy drew a wheel and he says, here's the Bible, prayer, fellowship, witnessing. These four things. He said, look, don't ever forget these four things. If you want to know how your spiritual life is going, ask yourself how you're doing in those four areas and you can answer your question. Are you reading the word? Do you spend any time in prayer? Do you even go to church? Do you share your faith? Just those four areas, all you need to worry about, he said. Just take care of those four areas, you'll be living for the Lord. And I can't get that out of my mind, that little wheel that he drew, you know. Right. It's so true. And tonight as we finish this thing, my cry to people would be, look, God's word is powerful. Spend time in God's word. Try to read it so you can share something that you read with somebody else. Let it be something that you observe, not something you got from another preacher, not that that's bad. You get a fresh word from the Lord. Let him speak to you and give it away to somebody, and that'll motivate you as much as anything. If you have something to share with somebody else that you read, and God will give you some fresh manna, as we say. And you know, the other thing is you got to pretend the media. I did a little message once, you guys, and it's called How to Walk in Truth. And it gave three or four reasons, and one of them was, got to read the word. One was, got to beware of the media. Third, have a personal ministry. Those are three good things to do to try to walk in truth and please the Lord, which should be our goal.
Absolutely, and I really do appreciate the testimony you have, the message you communicate, the words you've shared with us tonight, joining us. We really only have about a minute left. Tell me, share with our folks how they can get more information, any information you want to tell them about the movie coming out, how they can find out more information would be very valuable at this time.
Well, if they want to go to our website about some of our films, you can go to christianmovies.com. We do have a new movie we're getting ready to produce here in a couple months. It's called A Matter of Faith Movie.com. A Matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, A Matter of Faith Movie.com. We've got a little splash page up. But they can contact us there. We're going to be shooting in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. Maybe there's some people listening because we need extras and all sorts of things like that. But if they want to find out a little bit more about our ministry, they can go to those websites. And I appreciate both you guys. Thank you for giving me the time to kind of voice my thoughts here. And I pray the Lord will use this. And look, you know, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's a great definition of Christianity. So I'm just a beggar here trying to tell other people where to get food. And, you know, hopefully they'll turn to the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful. I thank you so much on behalf of Jim and myself. And invite everybody to come and join us next week. We'll be beginning our study in the book of 1 John. And I know you've done location shots. You do wonderful scouting. And if you really want some great things that look like Texas, nothing beats Texas, Rich. If you'd like to come on back, you know, you're most welcome.
I'd like to come down there and shoot again someday. So thank you, gentlemen, and the Lord bless you guys, and have a good night.
Thank God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.